Open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We'll read verses 15 through 20. Philippians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Remember now that Paul is in Rome in prison, and he's writing this letter to a church at Philippi, and he's telling them what has happened to him, and he's telling them how he feels about it. He's telling them how God feels about it. Chapter 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bones, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. As I stated earlier, Paul was in chains at Rome. Everyone knew that he was in prison and bound for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in verse 13 that my bonds are for Christ. That is, the reason that I am bound is because I have been preaching Christ and Him crucified. His imprisonment caused the gospel to be preached more and not less. You'll notice that Paul said in our study last Sunday that there were people, his brothers, who waxed confident by his bonds and were much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's disadvantage became his advantage. This is the marvelous way in which God often works. That which becomes our extremity becomes God's opportunity. And this extreme disadvantage that the Roman government and the Pharisees and Sadducees of the Jewish religion had pressed upon Paul had become his opportunity and his advantage for preaching the Word of God. And in verse 15, Paul said that these people who were preaching, now bolder than ever, had different reasons and motives for their preaching. Paul said some of them are preaching out of envy and strife. Think about that. Some of these people were emboldened to preach, made bolder to preach, but they were preaching out of the motive and spirit of envy and strife. The word envy means a jealousy that has to do with another success. Envy of a person's excellence. It's always associated with the sight and the sound of murder, as envy led to the first murder with Cain slaying Abel. There were preachers who were jealous of Paul. And because of his success, and because of this, they kept preaching and even preaching more, and not out of sincerity, that is, not with pure intentions, but hoping that as they preached, they could add to the tension that Paul felt in prison. The Bible tells us they were preaching with strife, which means rivalry and contention and quarreling. There was a bickering, quarreling, jealous attitude that encouraged some of these preachers to preach even more the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Preaching not sincerely, simply for ambitious purposes, canvassing and intriguing, all in the name of God, supposing that they would add affliction or pressure and intensity to the bonds or fetters of Paul the Apostle. They thought if they preached Christ in the city of Rome, it would stir up the authorities more against what Paul had been doing. My, what a wrong motive. And then Paul said, and some also of good will. There were some who were preaching Christ out of a loyal spirit and out of a spirit of good will. And Paul said in verse 17, and some out of love. Now notice, some were preaching out of contention. Some were preaching because of strife. Some were preaching because of envy and jealousy. Some were preaching because they felt a loyalty to the truth and to Paul. And there were others who were preaching because they had love for the Lord and knew that they were called and supposed to preach the gospel of the Son of God. Now let's look at Paul's situation. He has come to Rome under arrest. He has been chained, put in bonds, imprisoned, but he continues to preach. On one occasion, he sent for all of the people who were attending the synagogue, the Jewish people, and told them about Jesus Christ. Then he invited the soldiers and the chief men of the city to come and hear his message of Jesus Christ. He is persecuted, and he knows that he will probably be put to death. And now the men who are supposed to be helping him, who love him, now they have begun to preach more and more, and some of them hoping that as they preach about Christ being crucified, it'll make Paul's life more miserable. Now, how did Paul take this? How did he respond to this type of attitude? Paul said, what then? That is, what is the truth? What is the real issue? There's a lot of people who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but some of them are hoping they'll do it to hurt me, and others are hoping they'll do it in order to gain an advantage. Paul said, what about the bottom line of this whole situation? He said the important thing is that the gospel is being preached. Paul said, whether in pretense for a show or whether in truth, that is in sincerity, Paul said, I rejoice that the gospel is preached. And I therein do rejoice. Paul didn't say I'm rejoicing because these people are envious. And I'm not rejoicing in their jealousy. And I'm not rejoicing in the strife. I'm not rejoicing in any of these things. But he said there is one thing that I'm rejoicing in. And that is that the gospel of Christ is being preached. Whether it's sincerely or whether it is simply a pretense, that is to gain advantage and to be known as a preacher when really they were not that convicted themselves of this particular truth. And Paul said, I will rejoice in this. But think, why is Paul in this situation? Because of the gospel. Why is Paul in Rome? Because of the gospel. Why is he in chains? Because of the gospel. Why is he being taunted? Why is he being pressured? Why is he being afflicted? Why will he soon die? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it so tremendously important to this man to have the gospel preached? What is there about this thing called the gospel that causes Paul to rejoice in it when it's preached, even if people are doing it hypocritically and as a pretense? Let's look at Paul's definition of the gospel. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, we'll read a declaration of this gospel that Paul rejoices in. Notice, moreover, brethren, this is verse 1 of chapter 15, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Now notice verse 2, by which also ye are saved. By which, that is the gospel, ye are saved, if you keep in mind what I preached unto you, unless you have believed it with an empty faith or in vanity. Well, we still have not had a definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Corinthians and tells them, this gospel is what has saved you. He told the Philippians, I rejoice when this gospel is preached. And evidently he had strong reasons for rejoicing because of the circumstances that he is in. Now notice, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Also, the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, not all of the gospel. Notice, how that Christ died for our sins. Christ didn't die for his sins, but he said, Paul wrote to these people and said, now the gospel is this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? The Old Testament Scriptures, the book of Isaiah, the book of Exodus, the types and figures of the Old Testament, situations and experiences such as the Israelites being delivered out of Egyptian bondage by the application of the blood. This was a preaching and a forecasting of what the Messiah would do for them. How that Christ died for our sins, not for good people, but for sinners. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, not that he fainted, not that he swooned, not that they thought he was dead, but the Bible tells us that he died for our sins, that he was buried, now notice, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What then is this gospel that Paul is so enthused about and gives his life for? What is it? It is the truth about Jesus Christ, that he came into the world and died for sinners, was buried, and rose again the third day. The preaching of that set of truths that go inseparably together. What then is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now I want you to listen to this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth about Jesus Christ that saves us. The gospel is the truth about Jesus Christ that saves me and you. It's not the truth about us, it's the truth about Jesus. Now, there are some truths about Jesus that will not save us, such as his pre-existence. Jesus Christ created all the world. But simply to believe this fact is not a fact that will save us. We can believe in the existence of Jesus Christ, but that fact within itself will not save us. We can believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, but that truth in and of itself will not save us. We can believe that the Bible is true, but believing that the Bible is true is not a fact that within itself that will save us. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I know it's based on many truths, is not just a truth of His love. You know, you can believe the truth that God loves you, and oh, how He does love you, but just believing that He loves you is not a truth of God that will save you. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is God's truth about Jesus that saves us if we trust. If we trust that truth about Jesus. It's not just the knowledge, but it is trusting this Jesus who did these things, believing in Him and turning our soul's welfare over to Him, committing ourselves and saying, Lord, I can't save myself. I'm a sinner, and I'm weak, and I'm unworthy. And you're not just saying words when you say those things. That's the truth. I am also weak and unworthy and undeserving and a sinner, as all mankind is. Now, when we acknowledge that, our unworthiness and our inability and our incompetence, not just weakness, but total inability, total incompetence to save ourselves. When we realize that, then we hear the gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world, that He was crucified, that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again. When we trust that act of Christ, when we believe in it and trust it as our claim for salvation, when we say, Lord, what Jesus did, that's what I trust for You to save me, then that is being saved according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I didn't design that plan, and if I had, I couldn't have carried it out because I had no one to send onto this earth to die for sins. But the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 1:16 that this is what God chose. For I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now this is another letter. We have read in Corinthians, we have read in Philippians, and now we're reading in Rome, in the book of Romans, where Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, now notice that's singular, it, that is the truth of God about Jesus Christ, that He came into the world, that He died, was buried, and rose again, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, treated as a singular unit, I don't think you can be saved by trusting a dead Christ. I don't think you can be saved by trusting a Jesus who didn't die. I don't believe you can be saved if you don't believe that He literally died on the cross, that His blood spilled out on the ground, and that He expired by dismissing His spirit from His body. You've got to believe that. And you've got to believe that Jesus Christ was buried, and that out of that grave on the third day, He arose living and came back into His body. His spirit repossessed His body, and He lived as He had always lived. This is the gospel. It, not three things, but it. The gospel is not three things, it is one thing. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is this truth. It is this incident that God has chosen to use as an instrument of salvation It is not a church. It is not simply joining a church or joining a denomination or having someone read the Bible and pray for you. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is His coming, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. God has chosen that as the way of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it is by faith. It is by believing. It is by trust. If the gospel can do these things, then it's understandable that Paul would say, I'm not disturbed to realize that some people may be preaching out of envy and strife and contention, and even some of them trying to add to my harm and hurt and put more pressure on me. Paul said, when this fellow out here on the edge of town begins to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, supposing that he'll make me more miserable, may I rejoice in that truth that Jesus Christ is being preached. It wasn't just a religion. Christianity is not just one of the major religions. The gospel is not just one of the truths of one of the major religions. It is the power of God unto salvation. No one can be saved who does not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and trust in the merits of that one who was crucified, who was buried, and rose again. Paul mentions in verse 19 the outcome of this entire situation. He said, for I know that this will turn out to my highest welfare. In verse 12, Paul had already said that what people thought they were doing to stop him from preaching the gospel had fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that through prayer and through Jesus Christ, this crisis in his life would turn out for the furtherance of the gospel of the Son of God. I look out and I see all of you, and I think we all ought to emphasize that people are different. We are. In many ways, we are different. In many ways, you're unique from any other human that's ever lived. We are different. But we're also the same. We're just exactly alike in the fact that we're all sinners. In the fact that oftentimes we put off doing things that we know we ought to do and we just don't have an explanation for it. We even put off things to our own hurt, create more and more unhappiness in our lives and more uncertainty. You say, preacher, I guess I'm the only person in the world that does anything like that. No, you're not. I do that. Paul said, things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. There's a conflict. I don't know how to handle many of life's situations, and that's the way I feel, and that's the way every honest child of God will tell you they feel. We don't have it all worked out from the point that we can control ourselves and all that. Listen, but it's through prayer. It is through Jesus Christ. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And Paul said, I've done what God wants me to do. I've preached. I've been dragged from Jerusalem down here to Rome. I've been put in prison. I've been chained. But I'm still preaching the gospel. And there are others who are preaching the gospel. And that's what really counts in all this world. The bottom line is that the gospel is preached. We all need the gospel. We must have it to be saved. Would you receive the gospel? Will you receive the Christ of the gospel? Trusting, believing, confessing as we stand and sing.